Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. I texted Pastor Brady this morning, and it's an honor. It's humbling to be here, and I don't take this lightly to stand in this position. I told myself I didn't want to go on and on too much about Pastor Brady and Pastor Loretta and how much they mean to me and my wife, Gloria. We've known them going on 20 years, and, you know, when me and Pastor Brady met, we just immediately clicked and became like brothers. So, I mean, words can't express how much I love them and how much they mean to us and how much they've done for us. And so you guys are very blessed to have them as your pastors. Let's give them a round of applause for your pastors. Amen. They've done some tremendous things since they've been here, and it's just so awesome as I come into this worship facility, and I see all of what God is doing, and I get to talk to him from time to time. Unfortunately, I don't get to talk to him as much as I used to. I don't get to see him like I used to, amen, but, you know, he keeps me updated on the things that God is doing here, and, man, he's like, man, that trip, y'all took to Tennessee, he's like, man, like that. Y'all went down there, like, so we always said next year, we're going to try to hit y'all and try to ride down and say, y'all doing some phenomenal things. So, before I get started, I do want to introduce my wife. That's my wife up there on the Gloria. You my wife? So, you know, me and my wife, we have been married 19 years this, the end of this month, August 26th. I don't forget the date. August 26th, y'all make 19 years. So, she's been with me through the thick, through the thin, through the good, through the not so good. I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the not so good that she's been there with me. But I love her very much, and I'm glad to have her support. So that's pretty much all I wanted to say. Like I said, if I start talking about Pastor Doty and Pastor Loretta and just all of the good times that we've had, I wouldn't even preach. And I don't think y'all want to hear me talk about my friendship with them, amen. But I can just tell you, y'all are very blessed, and I'm going to make a bold statement. I don't know all the pastors in the Jacksonville, Tyler area, and you know, Palestine. I did my little research on the geography around here. I don't know all of the men and women of God, but I'm telling you, y'all got the best pastor in East Texas. Amen. Amen. So let's go ahead and get into the word. Let's pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you today, Lord God. We thank you for another time of gathering together around your word. And Father, we thank you that as I come before your people today, Father, all of you today and none of me, Father, bring to remembrance all the things that you dropped in my spirit that you wanted me to share with the people of this house. And Father, I just want you to know that after everything has been accomplished, after everything has been revealed, we will all be careful to give you the glory, the honor, the praise, and the adoration for everything that's done today in this house. And the people of God said, in the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Well, turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 8, verse 22. And while you're turning, I'm going to give you the title of my message today. The title is, Jesus is on the boat. Jesus is on the boat. Amen. So verse 22, chapter 8, Luke chapter 8. Jesus is on the boat. And how many of y'all know that we all have a boat? Amen. Like, we all got a boat. And so today, God wanted me to share with you that no matter what type of turbulent water, how rocky the road may look, that Jesus is on the boat with you today. Amen. So God sent me here to encourage you. Amen. Verse 22. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, Jesus fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water. They were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commanded even the winds and water, and they obeyed him. Repeat after me, Where is your faith? Amen. So if I asked for God to tell me what to share with you today, he gave me this passage, and God has given me a unique perspective, but I try to look at things that we go through on a day-to-day basis, and then relate it back to the Word of God. So, like, I didn't go to seminary, I didn't go to cemetery, I didn't go to any of that. I mean, I have nothing against that. I mean, I'm just, you know, playing the college basketball, did that, but I'm not some Bible scholar that's going to give you everything in the Hebrew and the Greek and all of that, because that's not where I am. And so, and most of the time we come to church, and sometimes we get entertained, or we're watching men and women of God come across as they're more spiritual than we are. Amen? And so, my thing that God is sharing with me is that He says, Son, when we're talking to these people, you got to come where they are. Amen? Like, you can't be way up here and then, you know, that's not what this is about. And so, many times, everybody say the word contradiction. So, you know, we have wonderful praise and worship, and, you know, and a lot of times the stuff we say about and we say in church, sometimes we're living it. Now, I'm not talking about, like, living in a bad way. I'm talking about some way we ask people, how you doing, brother? Oh, I'm blessed. But then the next day, they don't feel blessed. Or you're like, oh, how in the hell? Everything's good, brother. All is well. Everything's good. But, you know, but deep down inside, what we're really experiencing isn't what we're saying. And we all come to church, and we're all actors, amen? You come to church, and everybody's, you know, we got a way we want to present ourselves, but maybe what we present to everybody else is what we're going through, what we're experiencing, amen? And so we come together, and we do this, and I'm just like, God, I just don't like seeing that. I just don't like seeing it. And the thing is, when he says that, where is your faith, I'm going to get into it, because I think God may have given me something that may help you, amen? So, God sent me today to encourage you, no matter what you're going through, Jesus is on the boat with you. Now, I said earlier, we all got a boat. And so, I mean, and no boat or no trouble you're going through, if it's something you're going through, it's the biggest thing to you. And so sometimes as believers, we would think, oh, what's she going through? That ain't nothing. I got this to go through. And we try to minimize that. And so it's hard to encourage each other because all we're thinking about is ourselves. At least that's where I was. Amen? So I was going to tell you that Jesus is capable. God gave me this. He's capable of handling the steering wheel, not just being a spare tire. Many of us, we use God like a spare tire. When we leave him, we put that spare tire on, and then we get back on the road, and then we ain't think about God no more. Amen? But God wanted me to tell y'all today that he wants to drive the car. Let him drive the car. Let him have the boat. Amen? And now we can get you to the other side, to that destination. So this morning, God has given me this, and hopefully it will edify, encourage, and enlighten you as a modern-day believer. Amen? And so I'm using the word believer because many times we use the words believer and Christian and church members. We use them kind of like in the same connotation, but they're not really the same. Believers, it's what do you believe? Not what you say. And then it's like you can say anything. That don't mean, and I found that many church folks, they say stuff they don't believe. So when we're doing the offering confession, when we're singing the praise and worship, you got to get that down in your heart. And you got to believe that. Otherwise, like we just coming together, you know, like I'm a teacher, I'm a basketball coach, and every day at school we I pledge allegiance to the flag. And the kids, they just kind of go through it, they say it, but I don't know if they know what they're saying, they don't know if they believe it. Sometimes I wonder if I believe what I'm saying in that pledge of allegiance. But we're just saying it out of habit. And as believers, God doesn't want us to do things just out of habit. He wants us to do it with a believing heart. Amen. So I'm gonna, as we dive into this, I got three questions that I believe the Spirit of God will help me answer for y'all today. Because the questions I have. So the first one is, where is your faith? Okay? Where is your faith? We got to identify where our faith is, what faith is. It's one of the words that's used in church. It's used a lot, but a lot of times people don't really, the meaning of it, everybody got a different meaning of what they think faith is. Some people think faith is something you use to just get what you want. Okay, I'm going to give me a bigger house, give me a car, give me a husband, give me a wife, get this, get that. I'm going to just use my faith and use God like he's a Santa Claus and get what I want. And then once I get what I want, then I ain't really got a whole lot to do with God. Amen? We want to talk about that. The second question is, why don't people believe God is able? Yeah, I mean, we just talk about you know, everlasting God, and I will trust him. But what I found is, like I said, sometimes what we say and we don't believe. And we want to get help with that today. And then the last question is, how can I know God more? So, Jesus, when he asked, where is your faith as a believer, one of the things that's helped me, like I said, I'm not some Bible scholar, so I use technology to look at a lot of different versions and translations of the Bible, and some of them are easier to understand than others, and so it breaks it down for me. So, in the Message translation, Jesus said to them, why can't you trust me? Why can't you trust me? And so, to me, that's where the rubber meets the road. Either you don't trust God or you're not. And it's kind of easy to trust God when the money's flowing, when things is good. That it's easy to trust somebody when things is going good, but are you going to trust them when it's not good? Amen? And so what I found is, when it comes to are we going to trust or not, and where is our faith, most people are hoping and wishing. We're hoping and wishing for something good to happen. We're not sure. We're just hoping and wishing. And in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12, it says, hope deferred makes the heart grow sick. You want to know why people play double dutch in church? One day they in, they're in for like a month or two, then they're out for like 3 months, you're in a bit trouble, hop back in. Now, the reason why they're doing that is because they don't get the hope deferred. Pastor David told us, and we did. Y'all all said it, right? You know, give, and men shall give unto you. And so you give a little bit of money, a lot of money, and you give for 2, 3, 4 weeks, and then you look up, and you're not driving a Mercedes now. Oh, well, that stuff ain't working. I need to keep my money. And then, so, like, hope deferred makes the heart grow sick. Okay? So, we want to kind of address that. So, I'm going to give y'all a definition of faith. A definition of faith. And basically, it's three words that I bold. Confident belief and trustworthiness of a person, idea, or thing. You gotta have a confident belief. Now, how many of y'all know Jesus already died for us on the cross? He died for our sins. He's already done what he's going to do. That those are the finished works of Jesus Christ. We're not waiting for him to do something. He's not doing anything else. You gotta have a confident belief that he went to that cross and he died for our sins. He took the stripes on his back so he was healed. You know, he came to preach the good news of the gospel to those that are brokenhearted, that are poor, that are weak in spirit. He's already done that. So since he's already done it, and you've already confessed with your mouth and believed in your heart that Jesus is the Lord and Savior, well, then you also got to believe that he's done all of those finished works. Amen? So faith, confident belief. And it's an area that we really must study if we're going to live this fulfilled life. Because, honestly, you only live once, amen, and so I just don't believe God has us here to just kind of go through new life, you know, just kind of here today, dog, you know, how you doing? Oh, I'm blessed. But why you walking all hunched over? You don't look like you're blessed. God desires that we live an abundant life. He desires that we live a fulfilled life, that we can help others. And how can we, you know, me and my wife just got back from a vacation, and I thought about something. When you get on the plane, and they're going through all of the safety things, and they tell you, okay, if you're sitting with young kids, you know, if the oxygen mask drops, the first thing you need to do, put the mask on, then start helping others. I think that's what God desires for us. How are we going to help other people if we don't help ourselves? I mean, God wants us to live. I mean, you know, we can't go and go to the high school, go here, and we're trying to solve the problems, but if they look at us, they're like, well, you don't really look a whole lot more happy than what I'm looking. So watch God. If God ain't, I mean, I know you go to church 2-3 days a week. I know you do this. If God ain't doing no better by you, what makes me think he's going to do better by me? Amen? So when you look at John 10:10, it says, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. You have an entitlement to abundant life. Amen? Amen. So I'm going to talk about some faith fundamentals before, you know, as it goes with words with faith. Now, one thing faith is not, and I'm going to use a somewhat, I don't know, a biblical term or something I studied. Faith is not mental assent. I'm like, okay, what is that? Mental assent is when you kind of believe something in your mind, but you don't believe it in your heart. You kind of believe it in your mind, but you don't believe it in your heart. You say, I'm blessed, I'm the head, not the tail, but you don't believe that. It's in your head, and you gotta be careful, you know, in the modern day churches, we don't learn to memorize stuff. We don't learn to regurgitate stuff, and there's nothing you should learn. Church is an institution to learn. I mean, I don't think y'all want me to do a flip all the way down the aisle and entertain y'all. You want to come to me with thus saith the Lord, amen? But with that being said, you got to get that stuff deep down inside of you so that you can have, so it's not just mental assent. So there's a difference between hope and faith. Hope comes before faith. Now you gotta have hope, but you can't just live on hope. I hope my bills get paid. Go call your mortgage company and say, I'm hoping that the money come in. And I'm gonna just here's this check and we got hope written on it. Send that to your car no payment people and see if they don't come get your car. Okay, so you can't just live on hope. It's gotta be, hope knows that you may receive something, but faith knows that it already has received. So when we talk about Jesus already, so we God has already blessed us with all spiritual things. So faith, you've already received it. So this mental sin thing, you believe it in your mind, but faith is in your heart. Amen? Second fundamental. Faith comes how? By hearing what? I told you y'all got good pastors. Y'all got real good pastors. It comes by hearing the word of God, right? Okay. Faith don't come by just going to church. Faith don't come by sitting at home eating cantaloupe watching your favorite TV preacher. Okay. Now, I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with that, but that's not how faith comes just because, like, you're in a setting. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that hearing of the word of God is by the Holy Spirit. Amen? And it's the witness by God to the heart that you now hope, you have your hope desire. So the Holy Ghost ministers to you, and now you get what's known as a rhema word. So now you have, that's the word of God that you're hearing, the word of God. Not just you listening to it, just listening to it. That's not how faith comes. Faith doesn't just come by reading your Bible. Now, I didn't say not to read your Bible, but that's not how faith comes. It comes by hearing, and hearing by the Holy Ghost. Amen? Third fundamental. Faith pleases God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Faith pleases God. How many of y'all want to live a life to please God? Amen? I think we all want to please God. The Bible experiences faith pleases God. Now, while y'all turning to Hebrews, I got my wife here. She just to keep me on point with the time, because I'm not going to have Pastor Charles. So, don't be keeping my people too long, amen? So, we don't get out of here in a timely fashion, amen? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Not seeking what He has for you, seeking Him. We gotta begin as believers to seek Him. And in the modern day church, if we're just honest, many believers are not seeking God. Like my mom used to say, they ain't been no thing about God when the man on the moon. No thing about what they can get. Amen? Like, and once they get their needs met, then I'm out the door and life is good. And then when I get a little trouble, okay, let me come on back. Let me put the spare tire back on, but we don't want him to drive the car. Amen? So faith pleases God. It pleases God. Now, this last fundamental, just talking about some fundamentals of faith. Faith is not mental sin. Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. Faith pleases God. This last one, faith without works is dead or inactive. Turn to James chapter 2, verse 14. And I'm going to read this passage out of the Message translation. And when I read this passage, it reminded me of y'all's pastors and what y'all doing here in Jacksonville. And the difference in what you see in this passage. Verse 14. And I love this because it makes it so plain. You ain't had to go to the Bible college. Dear friends, so it'll be what you says, but it's a little bit more modern day vernacular. Dear friends, do you think you'd be anywhere in this if you learn all the right words but never do anything? So we're talking about faith without works is dead. Does really talking about faith indicate that a person really has it? Ooh, child, I got faith. Ooh, child, I got faith to move mountains. Ooh, child, I got faith. So does talking about it indicate that a person has it? For instance, you come upon an old friend dressed in rags and half-starved and say, good morning, friend. Be clothed in Christ. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now they left you. They hold you. And you say, I'm going to believe God. I'm going to pray with you, brother, that your knees get met. And then I'm going to go on down the street. Amen? Be filled with the Holy Spirit and walk out without providing so much as a coat or a cup of soup. Where does that get you? Isn't it obvious that God taught? Watch this. Isn't it obvious that God taught without God acts is outrageous nonsense? And that's the power of the anointing that your pastors have. When they say, we're going to get out into the community, we're going to do this, I mean, we follow y'all. Like, man, it's really inspiring to see the things that y'all do. You may not realize the impact that you have, but it warms me and my wife's heart. And you're doing the bicycle giveaways, and you're doing stuff in the schools, and you're doing, I mean, like, y'all going out. And I mean, I'm going to tell you, if I was going to Jacksonville College, and y'all came and talked to me, I'm going to come. I might not be all that interested in Jesus at the age of 18 or 19, but y'all talking about Evelyn and doing so? Oh, yeah, I'm going to come. So there's people, and then once you start feeding them the physical food, then you can give them the spiritual food. Amen? But you got some college, you got to understand that you got to be wise in the ways of the world to gain them to the things of God. And that's what your pastor, I love about Pastor Charles, he understands that you can't, if somebody needs a jacket or they need this, and you, okay, Jesus loves you, this I know, you really love me, can I get a coat? And so that's what's going to make this the fastest growing church in this area, amen? So, work should be both out of love and belief in God, not to get God to do something. Now, I'm going to park here. Now, y'all doing some, we're doing great things, and as believers, we should do it. I caution you, God wants me to caution you, you're not doing these good works to get God to do something. And a lot of believers, they struggle with that. And so then you go to God in prayer and you're like, well, I did this, I did that, I did this, I did that, but then you're going to do this. And you're not doing good to get God to do good. God's already doing them good. So you already made righteous. So no matter how many people you feed, whatever you do, you're not going to get God to do anything just because you're doing good, because you can't do good. If we can be good, we wouldn't say Jesus. That's why it's not Jesus. Y'all seen the movie Life Can't Get Right? We couldn't get right without Jesus. So that's why he said it. Amen. Send him. Amen. So, now, the last thing. The question was, why don't people believe God? And I think I got it. You know why people don't believe God? Because they don't know it. They don't know it. They know about it. We've heard a lot about it. But you can't believe in somebody you don't really know. Now, I'm going to give you an example. Raise your hand if you know Oprah Winfrey. Everybody here knows Oprah Winfrey, right? We all know she's done a whole lot of things for people and things like that. We know she's charitable. We know about her, but we don't really know her. So you can't trust or believe in somebody you don't really know. And that's the confusion that I think the believers are in. We struggle with the believing because we don't really know who we're trying to believe in. And so many times we place our belief in church. I'm going to be blessed because I go to this church. We place our belief in a man or woman of God. Well, so-and-so is my pastor. So. Now, you don't say that directly, but that's what's in your heart. You're thinking, my man of God says I'm blessed, so I'm blessed. Now, you're not blessed because he says it. You're blessed because of what Jesus has already done. Amen? And you got to believe it. You got to know who you believe in. So why don't we believe in God, that God is able? We on the boat. Why don't we believe that God is able to get us to the other side, to get you to the destination? So many of you say, like, Lord, I don't like this job. Lord, I desire to be married. Lord, I'm tired of my baby. My mom used to say, my money's funny and my change is strange. I'm tired of being in that situation. I want God, can you help me? And so we're moved by our physical senses. We're moved by our physical senses. Turn to John chapter 20, verse 25. Our physical senses, the things that we can see and touch. Okay, I'm doing pretty good. Okay, amen, amen. Why don't we believe in God? We can't believe in somebody we don't know. Those single people in here, single, desiring to be married, whatever you have, I mean, no marital advice. The person that you're going to be with, you need to know them. And when you know them, then you can trust them. It's hard to trust somebody you don't really know. And you know what you heard, or you know what you see, or what you think, but you got to know that person. And you got to know God for yourself. It ain't just enough, well, my mama know God. Well, no, do you know him? My grandma was in church for 30, 40, 50 years. She knew the Lord. What's that got to do with you? You better learn. I mean, my mama said, boy, you better learn the Lord for yourself. You know, mama ain't going to always be there. You better learn to depend on God on your own. And you know, and recently, we just came back from St. Martin. For two people that don't swim, we love to go to the beach. Go to the ocean. And what I find in some of those countries over there, you see people that their belief level is higher than ours in America. Because they have to believe. Here, we got little things that, like, we got little, you know, we got, you lose a job, we got unemployment. We got things like welfare. I don't have nothing against any of that, but we have things that, like, I mean, when you look, you realize how blessed you are compared to how some other people are living. We saw a guy was working as a security guard. He got a gun. We're like, oh man, he got a pretty good position. They said, yeah, he makes like $5, $6 an hour. And they're going to work every day. So they got to believe God. They got to know God. We're here, like, it's hard to believe God because we got jobs. Like, you get the thing and you don't need God because you know you get, and watch this. Most believers place more trust in that check they get on the person with 15 than God. Because you know, and you don't know, I mean, you may know the immediate supervisor, but you don't know that people is really cutting that check. You don't know if that money's good. You go into that bank, you ain't good when they're thinking that check ain't good. When you trust in, you trust in God, don't trust in the check. Amen? John chapter 20, verse 25. The other disciples, and this is after Jesus had called his disciples after he arose from being crucified. The other disciples said unto him, "We have seen the Lord," but we said unto them, that he said, talking about Thomas, "But except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side," he says, "I will not believe." And that's what most of us are moved by what we see. And if we don't see it, we kind of set this criteria, we're not going to believe it. And as a result, it's hard to trust that God is going to do what he's able to do. And many times in the Bible, when Jesus is performing his miracles, he says, "Do you believe? Do you believe? According to your belief, according to your faith, be it unto you." He said, "Do you believe?" Because if you don't believe, and then he goes to his hometown, and then people, they didn't believe because they were too familiar with it. So, and you look at the boat. Jesus on the boat. These are the men closest to him. They ought to know Jesus better than anybody. And if you say, Lord, why do you know I got this or this house and stuff like that? Lord, where are you at? Don't you care? I'm about to die out here. I've been looking for a job for 2-3 months. Lord, don't you care about me? He don't care. And then he said, "Where is your faith?" And that's the question I believe he's saying yesterday. Where is your faith? And when it comes down to it, your faith has got to be triggered by you knowing him. Because if you know him, then you can trust in him. Amen? So, we must begin to develop a closer relationship with God. So let me give you some proof text about this knowing God. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. Most of us, we know about God. We know what he's done. We know about what he's done for other people. People come up, they give their testimony, you know, "I bought $3 on the altar, I walked outside, and everything is paid off, and I have this brand new Mercedes." And we clap. And so you hear those testimonies, and you're like, "Wait, when am I going to be the one giving the testimony?" And maybe I'm not the one doing that. I mean, it's not like I'm upset with somebody, but at some point in time, I'm on my own boat, I got my own problems, I got my own things I need to get taken care of, and it's hard for me to get real excited about you because I'm thinking about me. Amen? So, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." Through the knowledge of God and of our, so you gotta know God. "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness," here it is again, "through the knowledge of him," not the knowledge of church, not the knowledge of your pastor, not the knowledge of your grandma that's been on the church roll, but the knowledge of him that have called us to glory and virtue. So I think that's it. Like, until you know God, it's hard to trust in him. So my last question: how can I know God more? So Minister Morgan, you can come down here and you say, "We need to know God." Okay, we need to know God. I mean, I can remember 21 years ago, and my wife, we had met prior to that. We went to the same church, and what's funny, our church wasn't really that big. and we went to church together, and I knew her, and she knew me, but I didn't know her, and we really didn't have that type of, you know, contact in terms of us being interested in dating each other. So, once we met officially, then now we're going to take time to get to know each other. You gotta take the time to get to know each other. And do we need to know God in an intimate sense? Not just a little surface level where you know a few more songs and what you need when you join the church and, you know, okay, now I pray over my food, now. All of that time, but knowing God in a more intimate sense. So, how can I know God more? What God said was, just tell him who I am. But like, this ain't looking complicated. You just tell him who I am. So, everybody say, God is love. You got to know God as well. That's the first thing you got to know. Turn to 1 John 4, verse 16. God is love. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God is love. That's one of the attributes. He's love. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. There it is. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. When you come to the realization that God is love, and that if you're going to be with God, then you got to love. Now all of a sudden, it's not hard for you to love others because you've taken on the nature of God, and his nature is love, then you got to have that same nature too. So I love how we greet each other. I mean, like, I'm going to churches when you walk in there and nobody say nothing to you. I mean, sometimes churches get so big, they get sick, and y'all gonna get big too. So don't lose the smell of love, because there's gonna be somebody coming here that they need that touch, they need that hug, that how you doing, brother? Good to see you. They need that. And honestly, let me say something about like this millennial generation. See, young people can kind of figure it out that like churches say one thing and do something else. You talk to the average, you know, 18 to 38 year old, they don't have a problem with God, they got a problem with church. And I know that stings. It stings because I ain't in that age group. But they're like, man, them people kind of funny. They do this, they that. And so, you know, and you can drag them until they're old enough. How I know, because I did it when I got to college. Man, I've been going to church about 5, 6 years old. I ain't got time for all that. Sitting up there, them people, you know, they're loving each other. And then as soon as they get off that, then they give them a phone. Child, you see what so-and-so had on? Child, you see this? And so there is caught and taught. So our younger generation, they like, well, y'all go to church, but y'all talking about each other. I don't want to be a part of that. I stay at home. Y'all know that I love God less. I mean, so you got to keep that spirit of love. That's how you will draw that spirit of love goes out into the community. Everybody's looking for love. Everybody's looking for love. So God, what actually is love? The next one, God is merciful and gives us grace. Now, if that don't make you want to just shout, I don't know what it is. I'm going to talk to you about mercy and grace. Mercy is God not punishing us as our sins deserve. So he's not giving us what we deserve. If he gave us what, you couldn't even argue. So he's getting, you know, I plead the mercy on the court. Like, and so he said Jesus, and that's the mercy. Grace is blessing us with something we don't deserve. That's what I'm saying, right? That's the God that you need to get to know. You need to get to know the God that loves you, and you need to get to know the God that ain't going to punish you the way you deserve to be punished, and he's going to give you what you don't deserve. Now, if you can just get that in your heart, now once you start to learn about God and know God, now you can believe him and trust him. Amen. Okay, all right. Yeah, I told you. That's don't get me, amen. My grandmother is a clock right there, amen. So now, I'm going to give y'all, you know, I think we'll be alright. Okay. Yeah, what's the show that helped me out? The Power Theater. Power Theater. Okay. The Showtime at the Apollo. Okay. Like, whoa, who passed the baby got up in here? Okay. Showtime at the Apollo. Okay. Steve Harvey used to be the host of Showtime at the Apollo. And I can remember one time they had Steve Harvey and it was like some Christian function and they had him come out and introduce God. And I couldn't find him. If you go to YouTube or whatever, just like Steve Harvey introducing God. I mean, and he just starts talking about God. And you know, and many of y'all, I grew up watching Muhammad Ali box. Okay? And he's the greatest. Now, he said he was the greatest, but he ain't the greatest. Jesus is the greatest. Amen? Jesus is the greatest, but Muhammad Ali was great. And so when he come in, they say the heavyweight champ of the world, Muhammad Ali, he spoke like a butterfly, sting like a bee, and then they start giving all his nicknames and start talking about him. Well, I'm going to do that a little bit talking about God, amen? I'm going to give y'all some names of God, so as you're thinking, I'm on this boat, is Jesus on this boat with me? First name of God, Elohim. Elohim, if he is God, he's the one and only God. He is supreme. He, Elohim, your job is not Elohim. Your husband is not Elohim. Whatever, your car, your house, whatever is just really, really important to you is not Elohim. God is Elohim. Number two, Yahweh. Yahweh. I am Moses. Not going to listen to me. Can you tell him I am that I am sent you? I am Yahweh. Now, you know, most of us, you know, we daddy. We refer to God as daddy, Abba. That's your daddy. God is your daddy. He's your father, but he's your daddy. How many of you know your daddy will do stuff for you, but sometimes your father won't? Your daddy, you know, some of y'all daddy's bills, you know, you got, daddy, can I get this? And then all of a sudden, your daddy, okay, here you go. And then, well, that's what God will do with you. That's what God will do with us. He want to be that. He want to be your daddy. And you got to refer to him as Abba. That's your daddy. Everybody say, who's your daddy? Number four, Elohim, God Most High. God Most High. He is indeed the Lord Most High. Elohim, the God who sees. And many times when we're going through whatever we're going through, you wonder, does anybody see? Does God see what I'm going through? Does God see how these people acting on my job? Does God see? I mean, we got some younger people. Does God see what's going on in school? Does God see how this teacher talks to me kind of crazy? Does anybody see? Does anybody care? El Roy. Number six, El Shaddai. God Almighty. He is the all-powerful, he is the mighty one. Now, most of y'all, you get in trouble, you call 911. God is the ultimate 911. You ain't got to get no operator. You with 911, you talking to God. Amen. So you ain't talking to somebody who's got to send somebody, you talking to the one. Jehovah Jireh. Now, you got to believe Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. You got to believe that when your money ain't what you want it to be. He's still Jehovah Jireh. He still will provide. He's faithful. He's able. Nothing is too difficult for him. He's heard your prayers. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. Okay, he always wins. Jehovah Nissi. You get with a health challenge? God is Jehovah Rapha. I am the God that he will be. He's already healed you. Amen. So you're not hoping to get healed. You got to believe that Jesus died on that cross and you're already healed. That Jehovah Rapha. the kids back in the pool, the lesson with you on your job, I don't know where I'm coming or going. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord, the God of peace. The God of peace. That these are the attributes of God. I'm giving you these names so you can see that's who, like, them disciples were on that boat, they were, and they got peace with them. Peace is in the boat with them, but they go, don't you care about us? He's like, man, I'm trying to get some sleep. People working me. All I'm doing is going around doing these works and doing this. I'm tired. Man, y'all can smoke about yourself. Amen? And I'm telling you this because your pastor is like your shepherd. Okay? And how many of you know I've done this? You come to church and you walk out of that door and you feel like you can fight a bear. By Tuesday, you don't think you can fight a mosquito. Now, what happened between 7:30 and Tuesday at 3 o'clock? What happened? Did God change? I mean, and so you got to know that the same things that God is revealing to you, that you have it already, and you have the power, you have peace. Amen? And then lastly, God is always there. Jehovah Shammah. He's always there. Even if you don't think he's there, he's there. He's there. Amen. So, we just talked about some of the names and the attributes, but the Lord said, "Your son, that's not really enough. You just memorize the names, and yeah, you know about God, but how do you get to know him more intimately? You got to spend time with him. You got to spend time with him. You must establish a prayer life. Luke 8:21 says, men ought to always pray. And when you pray, you can't always have your laundry list of needs. Sometimes you got to have a conversation. How you doing, God? I'm good, Sam. Have a conversation with him. And don't get so caught up in the, I'm asking God, and then the whole point of prayer, and there's nothing wrong with petition prayer. You know, he knows what you need, so you got to issue that and ask him. But that can't, you can't have a good marriage when the only time you're talking to your spouse is when you want something. That's just, I don't know what you call that, but that's not the type of relationship that God desires. Now, you must study God's word. The more you study the word, the more you know God. Okay? And you got to study the word for yourself. If you pick up your Bible on Sunday, and you pick it up again next Sunday, it's hard to say you study in the word. Now, I don't want to get all legalistic, because many times we start saying, okay, you gotta read the Bible for 3 hours a day, and you gotta pray six times a day, and you gotta, okay, I get, and that would be great, but the reality is, in our contemporary lives, that may not always be possible, and then you get caught up in, well, I'm trying to do this, I didn't do it, now you feel this condemnation, because you didn't do these works. It's about having an intimate relationship. So you got to study. The Bible says study to show yourself approved. Like, I'm giving you some of these scriptures. Take them out, read them. Check them out. See if I'm just up here kind of filibuster. Read it for yourself so you can study and so you can learn God more intimately. You must have personal praise and worship time. You got to. How far? Everybody here working time? Everybody working time? Okay. How long does that drive? So you go there and you come back, right? Okay. You got praise and worship in your car. I promise you, if you're doing that in your car, 15, 20 minutes here, there, you're going here, going there, that's more than the average believer's doing. Yeah, I mean, you must have personal praise and worship. I mean, it's great, Sister Peggy, man. Let's give him a hand clap of praise. I mean, I've heard a lot of praise that they're good. But that can't be the only time you have praise and worship, is when they sing. Like, when you going to make a joy of the Lord and give you Lord? When you going to let the praises, let the glory of the Lord rise? They need to rise to you, not just from them. Don't just look at them as they're up here entertaining you, and you just sit there just kind of watching them praise. That's not praise and worship. Okay? Lastly, we must learn to be quiet. you want to spend time with God, sometimes just be quiet. He says in Psalms 46 and 10, be still and know that I am God. Sometimes you got to just be quiet and let him speak to you. And he'll tell you what to do. You ever look and say, man, I had something told me not to do that. That was God. That, you got to be still and hear that voice. So I'm about to close. How am I doing? I'm okay. Y'all good? Can I have like 5 minutes? Okay. Thank you. Well, I'm from Topeka, Kansas. Kind of long way from here. So, like I said, I played basketball. Basketball brought me to Texas. I ended up going to Texas State University in San Marcos, and that's how I got to Texas. Once I finished, I went back home and kind of just trying to figure out how I could not be an adult. So then, you know, about 5 years, so I'm like, okay, so I'm going to move back to Texas. So I moved back, and, you know, it seemed like everything was good. Got me a nice little job. I had my little long-term girlfriend. You know, and we're going to move down here and do this, and I'm going to take the business world by storm, and we're going to get married and live happily ever after. I'm like, oh, man, life is good. Well, after about 2 months, life wasn't good. That job wasn't quite as good as I thought it was. That girlfriend of 7 years, well, she did like this. And so I'm like, oh, man. So now I'm like, man, what? I'm like, God, master cherub, not that I'm perishing. So now I'm there. I'm in the boat. Like, dang, this is all falling apart. And so I started establishing this relationship with God. And I said, look, God, I need you to help me. And I need you to help me get myself together. And it was tough. You dealing with depression, dealing with brokenness. Me and my roommate would joke, hey, man, let's just go to sleep. If you sleep, you can't spend no money. You can't think about being broke. So we just gonna go to sleep. So you go to sleep at 7 o'clock. Now, that's just me. You go to sleep at 7 o'clock. That way you can't think about money because you sleep. You can't think about being hungry because you sleep. So you like, oh, man, y'all see them get your notices on the door? Yes, sir, man. Don't worry about it. So that was where I was at that time. That was the boat I was on. And so as I began to spend more time with God and start devoting my life to God, how many of you know that Jesus was actually on that boat with me the whole time? The whole time. I kept thinking about that girl. And how many of y'all know most of the stuff we think about, when people do you bad, don't let them control your happiness because they ain't thinking about you. Like, don't let them dictate what's going on. They're not thinking about you. You know, I can't sleep, I'm not eating, I'm depressed, and she wearing the pomegranates all the time. She ain't thinking about me. And so then you go through this period of being bitter and all of this, and God's dealing with all of that, and you come to a point where you got to spend time with God, with yourself. And like when you're at church, you got people that can encourage you, but let me help you out with something. Everybody want to hear you and your problems all the time. Take your problems to the Lord, because he don't ever sleep, he don't ever slumber, he'll listen to you. People ain't going to try to have no pity party with you. Don't make them bad, it's just like, I got my own problems, I got my own issues. And so, things started getting a little bit better, got a little bit better job, couple years later, boom, I went into heaven. Now, I knew it, but I saw it differently. God kind of presented it, and the Bible says, and he who finds a wife finds a good thing. That's my good thing that I found, but I was able to find her because I spent time with him. And the ironic thing about finding her, the very first time I actually physically met her, I was with my ex-girlfriend. And I'm sitting in there, I'm sitting there thinking, me and my wife, we don't get married. Well, actually I was. She was just sitting on the other side of the baby. Jesus is on the boat with you. And God sent me here to tell you that no matter, and you know, sometimes people, and don't let nobody diminish your boat. Don't let nobody make you feel like what you're going through is insignificant or what you're going through ain't that bad. You know, I mean, you heard your pastor tell his testimony about the things that he overcame and all of the challenges and the addictions and all of that. That ain't my boat. But that don't mean that it wasn't as rough for me as that boat was for him. So don't let people make you feel like, oh, girl, you still good about him. I told you 5 years ago it wasn't no good. Well, that's insensitive. So don't let nobody do that. So I'm going to leave you with the lyrics of a song. Now, this is where, if I could just sing, if I could just tell Brother Willie, tune this song up, and then I could start singing, and I could just sing us out of here. But I don't think y'all want that. So, I'm not going to sing. Because the lyrics are kind of, I just want to tune this song up and start singing. So, this is the song, Waymaker. Waymaker. And the original artist is an African. If you go on YouTube, it's got like 200 million views. So you can't tell me people they want to know that Jesus is on the boat. And so here's these lyrics. Every time I hear this song, I'm reminded that Jesus is on the boat with me. And he says, "You are here. You are here, moving in our midst. You are here, working in this place. You are here, touching every heart. You are here, healing every heart. You are here, turning lives around. And you are here, mending every heart." Now, if you heard the song, that's all she sings. That's all she sings. "You are here." "You are here." And that's all she's going to sing in that. And then she gets to the chorus. "Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. That is who you are." If you keep that in your mind and get that down in your heart and your spirit, and you get to know God for yourself, you can trust Him and know that Jesus is on the boat with you. Amen. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Amen.